اهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم and welcome once again to Radio Islam and Mijumi 1548. Time right now for our Q&A program with Mufti Abdul Hussein Ilyas, who is online right now with us. And just to remind our listeners, as usual, every Tuesday we take questions coming in from our callers and our SMS on our mobile phone. If anybody has any question that you would like to ask Mufti Sahib, you can phone in on 854-1548 or you can SMS on our mobile number, that is 0823565988, or alternatively you can email us on air@radioislam.co.za. The mobile number once more, 0823565988, and our lines are open and Mufti Sahib is online right now with us. And we know that today was Yom Al Ashura, towards the 10th of Muharram, and a lot of people out there were fasting. And if there's any question that you would like to ask about Muharram as well, you can go ahead and ask Mufti Sahib, who will inshallah answer your questions. Okay, let's go on to line with Mufti Sahib. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are you, Mufti Sahib?
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah.
JazakAllah for joining us. Okay, we're going on to the first. We have a first, I think we've got a caller online tonight. First caller. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Yes, brother.
Hello.
Ji.
Yes, hello. My questions are as follows. During the Hanafi Mazhab, is it permissible to say Bismillah before Surah Fatiha? No, I've got another one as well.
Okay, fine.
At the two harams in Makkah and Medina, according to some Hanafi people, they say the Asal Salah should not be read by the Hanafi Mazhab people because the time for Asr is read quite early, and the Zuhr time has not yet been completed. So they feel that until the Zuhr time has completed, Asr time cannot start. Could the Mufti please comment on that?
Okay, fine.
And the third one as well, please. This is regarding an irrevocable divorce where either one or two talaqs have been given. If the man retakes his wife, then any subsequent divorce, do the first or the second talaq, are they counted again or are they made null and void? JazakAllah, I will listen on the air.
Okay, Mufti Sahib, let's see the last question first of the two talaqs.
Inshallah, you will keep writing, Mawlana.
Inshallah.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. As Mawlana has requested that we take the last question first, if a person, for example, gave his wife one talaq and then reconciled, upon reconciliation, then he has only two remaining talaqs. Also, if a person gave his wife two talaqs, upon reconciliation, that person has only one talaq left. As far as the second question, or in this case the middle question, it is permissible for the Hanafis to perform the Asr Salat behind the Imam in both or either of the harams, Makkah, Medina. As far as the first question is concerned, that the Hanafis can recite Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim in Salah softly.
JazakAllah for that, Mufti Sahib. The first question we have on our SMS today is, it says, Assalamu alaikum, Mawlana, is it important to get married? I don't want to after hearing all the marriage problems.
Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated in a hadith, An-nikah min sunnati, meaning nikah is part of the sunnat of the Anbiya alayhi salam and part of his sunnah. In another hadith, it is stated, Man raghiba an sunnati falaysa minni, that whosoever is not inclined, does not show enthusiasm towards my sunnah, is not from amongst me. And nikah, although it is classified here as the way of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but it had become farz on a person, wajib, sunnah, mustahab, makruh and haram, jurisprudically speaking, that is. For example, if a person is prone to sin if he does not marry or she does not marry, then for that person, because sin is imminent, it will be essential for that person, necessary, obligatory for that person, farz for that person to marry. So we should not shy away because of you keep on hearing people having difficulties, ups and downs. Unfortunately, this is the age of trial and tribulation, and it depends on the marriage couple how they can fashion and design their lives. If they keep the Sharia in front, then inshallah harmony and cooperation will prevail. If they move away from the Sharia, then unfortunately this harmony, disunity, quarreling and fighting will become the order of the day. Marriage is what the couples make of it. And we should constantly make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not create difficulty whilst the person is married.
JazakAllah for that, Mufassir. Let's take the next question now. It says, Assalamu alaikum, can we use miswak while fasting?
It is permissible to do so. However, you should remember that you should not chew and suck upon the end of the miswak and take the fluid in. If you take the fluid in, you are going to invalidate, break the fast. It is permissible to utilize the miswak whilst fasting.
JazakAllah for the Mufisab. Okay, just to remind listeners, the lines are open 8541548, or our mobile number is 0823565988. We have a question on the screen here in front of me saying, what is the masail regarding suicide bombings?
As far as this issue is concerned, then the ulama ikram say that it depends on the intention of the person who is doing this activity. And depending upon his intention, the ruling and the consequence will be made. And also, it does not apply to our country, and the situations have not arisen here for us to make a ilmi academic discussion on this issue. Wherever this is happening, the respective ulama of those areas are responsible, and they are academically responsible, and they provide the necessary guidance for those who are in those respective countries.
Let's take the next question. Next question, we've got any callers now. Okay, we're taking the next question. Says, what is Mufti's opinion on the Sunday Times? When will the Jamiat Ulama encourage the Muslims to boycott them?
All these newspapers, as far as we are concerned, are tabloids. And especially these days, most of the printed media is full of immorality, and it is full of immodesty. It is full of, unfortunately, every other article dealing with rape and dealing with murder, dealing with hijack. So if you look at it carefully, there is practically no spiritual benefit besides being traumatized by the news around you. So let alone one newspaper, as a rule, a Muslim should know what is happening around him, but not in such graphic and such gory details and such immoral details as presented in newspapers these days. In a good Muslim's home, you will not find all these immoral magazines, immoral newspapers floating around.
JazakAllah for that, Muftizab. Taking the next question now, we're going on to a question saying that, did Muftizab find out about the last 10 ayah of Surah Al-Imran? If read at night, it is, if one stood up the whole night in Nafil Salah. And the person says that this was mentioned by Mawlana Muhammad Kara.
Then inshallah, you should try to contact Mawlana and ask him for the reference. Once he gives us a reference, then inshallah I can check it up. And when I talk to the respected Maulana, I will also inshallah pursue the matter.
JazakAllah for the sub. Let's take the next question. Lines open 854-1548. Mobile number is 0823565988. A person says, I travel 80 kilometers to work every day. Am I a musafir or not?
If you make intention prior to your traveling, then you are a musafir.
Next question says, when one spoils the family for Muharram, would it be sinful to spare a few rands to spend on your pets?
As far as spoiling the family for Muharram, the ahadiths that are talking about feeding in Muharram does not mean extravagance, lavishness. It does not mean going into debt. It does not mean, even if you are a wealthy person, that you should now go and splash your money. It does not mean that to have an extravagant dish. Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, meaning of one hadith is, if a person has got vinegar in the home, he's got food in the house. So classification, vinegar is enough. What we, unfortunately, these types of hadiths, we are very quick to practice upon, and we want to eat and overeat and overindulge. As far as the animals are concerned, that they have got rights, so they're supposed to be in all situations fed properly, kept properly. In fact, if you have got pets and you do not feed them, then expect, unfortunately, the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of you ill-feeding the animals. And that hadith is speaking about the human beings, your family, and not about animals.
JazakAllah for that, Mufassab. Taking the next question. Now, a person says, if a person is not sure if he has made the correct number of rak'ats, should he make sajdu sahwa or should he repeat the entire salah?
If a person, this happened first time to him, then he should make a firm intention that, obviously now he's opposing the question because it has already transpired, it has already happened. However, once it has happened and now it re-takes place, that he should make firm intention, whatever his mind says firmly, irrespective of whether it's wrong even, he should firmly stay on it and make the ruling on it. For example, if it was a 4-rakat salat he's performing and his mind is firm on 3, then go and perform the 4th one. But do not resort to sijda sahu. Because the whole principle behind this answer is that a person must not move towards becoming mashkuk, a doubtful person. Because once you become a doubtful person, it is stated in the hadith that Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says a shaitan called Wahan is put upon a namazi to distract him, disturb him, and to mislead him as far as the salat, performance, number of rakats, whether I did the wuzu properly, the ruku properly, all those things. So do not let the shaitan take advantage over you. Be firm in your decision and act upon it.
JazakAllah for that, Mufti Sahib. Let's take the next question now. It says, my husband and I are separated for 1 year. He did not give me talaq and he wants me to come back. Are we still married?
Yes, you are still married as long as he has not issued talaq. And in this age, if there is room for reconciliation, you should seriously consider reconciliation. And if there are some difficulties, get those who witnessed your nikah, who were your representatives, etc., to mediate, arbitrate, and put certain clauses for reconciliation, but reconcile at the end of the day, so that you can get back to your husband and live as husband and wife in peace and harmony again.
JazakAllah for that. Taking the next question now. Lines are open, 8541548. We've got, I think, two callers online. Let's take our callers first. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Hello, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
In reply to the first caller that phoned early on regarding Surah Ali Imran and receiving the reward of performing Salah the entire night,
okay.
I would just like to say that I've got a kitab in front of me where it mentions this. This is known as Masnoon Duaz by Mufti Muhammad Ashik Ilahi Bulan Shahri, translated by Mufti Afzal Hussein Ilyas. So, and in this kitab it says the riwayat comes from Mishkat Sharif.
Oh, once you said that, Alhamdulillah, I appreciate that.
JazakAllah for your
The brother may say that how come the Mufti does not know he translated that. The Mufti is responsible for about 300 kitabs. So every line of every book I do not know. So, but I really appreciate that brother who phoned in, and now he has cleared the air, cleared the matter, and Alhamdulillah, the reward is tremendous, and Allah Ta'ala reward all those who read Surah Ali Imran.
InshaAllah. JazakAllah for the answer. Okay, no other callers online. Let's take the next question saying, Assalamu alaikum, Muftisab. May I please know if one can read, say, Surah Falaq and then Surah An-Nas in the second raka'ah of Salah, bearing in mind the second Surah is longer?
It's permissible to do so.
Permissible. JazakAllah for that. Next question, say, Assalamu alaikum, is one allowed to charge the customer extra, say, at 25%? For giving the customer terms for paying for 2 months and the customer agrees to it?
This we call very simple transaction. One transaction is a cash transaction, and one transaction is a installment transaction, payment by installment transaction. Obviously, there are two separate transactions, and both are permissible in the Sharia. One transaction is a cash, spot cash transaction, where the person agrees on the item and the price in one session, one gathering, and the deal is agreed, there is a proposal and it is accepted, it is confirmed, and the transaction is made. That is how a daily shopkeeper functions. And the other one is there is a deferred payment via installments. Obviously, there the person can increase the price, now provided that the price is stipulated, not moved. Secondly, the time of payment is stipulated. And when the time is stipulated, then the amount has to be stipulated naturally. So when we have got all these stipulations in place and there are no hidden factors and penalties involved, the transaction is permissible.
JazakAllah for that, Mufisab. Taking the next question now, can one sell Valentine's items?
If you have them in your shop and you have been selling them all along, then it is permissible. But if you are going to sell them for only a particular occasion, then it is definitely makruh. The sale per se, the transaction per se will be valid, but definitely makruh.
Taking the next question now, it says, Honorable Mufti, please advise if Riyadh is a suitable name for our newborn son. And the mean of this means garden. Jazakumullahu khair. Wassalamu alaikum.
If you are able to pronounce it all the time properly, then it is permissible to keep it.
Next question says, Assalamu alaikum, Mawlana and Muftisab. Can you please give me the meaning of the name Mubarakah, something like that.
Obviously, although this is not a program for it, it means blessing. However, there is a specialized program conducted by Sheikh Jaz. I will appreciate those who want to have the meaning, names, etc., names of their meaning. They can phone to that program.
JazakAllah for that, Mufisab. Lines are open, 8541548. Our mobile number is 0823565988. Is it advisable to homeschool boys?
Say it again slowly.
Is it advisable to homeschool boys?
I don't know what that means. What, to keep the school boys at home or to have homeschooling for children or to have homeschooling for boys? No, I don't know
okay,
what that means. Can you make out?
No, I can't, sir.
However, let us just make some possibilities. One is that we have homeschooling for boys. Yes, very advisable in our age to have this. In fact, homeschooling is the route Muslims should be going and should be encouraging in this age of immorality and immodesty. And as far as keeping borders, this is highly discouraged.
JazakAllah for that, Mr. Sadke. Just to tell that caller or the SMS, the person who sent an SMS, if they can send the SMS back, inshallah. Okay, taking the next question. It says, my parents want me to get married to a specific girl, and I don't want to because I am interested in another decent, pious Muslim girl, and I want the blessing of my parents. So what do I do in this situation?
Follow the advice of your parents, because in their advice lies goodness, blessing. They are more experienced. And how did you in the first place see the so-called pious girl that you are interested in? And how did you strike up a relationship with this so-called righteous girl that you are interested? And you are interested in someone who you say in your mind is pious and righteous. How did you all meet and how did you all contact and how did you all progress to such an extent that he now occupies a place in your mind and heart? You should follow the advice of your parents and also remove what you have got rented in your brain at the moment.
Okay, JazakAllah for that, Mr. Sabri. Taking the next question now, is it permissible for a Hanafi to ordinarily read the Asr Salah once the time for Asr Shafi has set in? And is there any concession regarding this while traveling?
While traveling, they are, because that concession can be made. But when you are stationary and you have got no Shari valid excuse, you should read the Asr Salah during the preferred Asr Hanafi time.
JazakAllah for that, Mr. Sab. Taking the next question now. Is a woman. Okay, I think we've got another call online. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam.
Okay, brother.
I have three questions. Okay. Could Mufti Sab please explain the term and the permissibility of celebrating Agyarvi Sharif and Urus Sharif that is in our locality? And arising out of that, on these two occasions, they have a program in the night whereby they read a Khatam of Quran in congregation. And this was also done on the night of Ashura. They had a program with this, and you know, the Khatam of Quran. So is that permissible in Islam? Then the next question is, could Mufti Sahib just briefly tell us who is Zulkarnain? And my last question is, if someone, we meet someone and we say, can we use the term lucky, or can we say fortunate, or what would be the appropriate word to use in Islam, rather to wish someone well or something, you know?
JazakAllah khair, brother.
JazakAllah. Assalamu alaikum.
Jee, Mufti Sahib.
Any other caller?
Any other callers? Okay, no other callers.
Okay. In Islam, we have no official celebration of any birthdays, irrespective of who the personality is, irrespective of the status of the personality. If Islam had celebrations, birthday celebrations, then we have got 124,000 Anbiya alayhi salam. We should be having birthday celebration every day. We have got 124,000 Sahaba ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajmain. We should be celebrating birthday every day. But there is no one stopping us. And the Shariat is in fact encouraging that we should be making dua for the deceased. And we should be making dua for the elevation of the status of the pious personalities who have passed away. No one is against that. We are saying, make dua, make Isa alayhi salam sawab for those pious, righteous saints who have passed by. They have served Islam. We should study their history and how they toiled in serving Islam. We should also try to do so. Islam is not about celebrations And unfortunately, these days, most of these celebrations have photography, gender mixing, and also music. Many un-Islamic activities thereby take place, rendering it not permissible for us to attend there. Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in did not do this. We should abstain. Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in did not gather in the masjid to recite Quran al-Kareem in congregation. You want to read Quran, read it. You want to read much Quran al-Kareem, do so. You want to read and pass the sawab to deceased, you can do so. And it is rewardable. It should be an individual action. A person says, I want to read one para Quran al-Kareem daily, permissible. But now he says, I want another person to do so. He's got no right to impose his mubah action upon someone else. And thirdly, we should say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been most kind. Should not use this word lucky. Lucky moves towards gambling and chance. Fortunate is also a nice word, but best will be that Allah Jalla Majdahu has been so kind that He has blessed us with eyesight, and we are so Allah has been so kind that He has blessed us with wealth. So go and praise the attributes of Allah in your good times.
JazakAllah for Muqtasab. Okay, Muqtasab, the call that phoned in now, or the SMS that came in earlier about the boy that wants to get married, and his parents doesn't want him to get married to the girl. I think somebody just phoned back and said that the boy was so, I think he, through family, he knew the girl and he liked her, and he wasn't going out with her or anything like that. And his parents never want him to marry this girl because of the Surti Cockney thing that our people brought from India.
That is a different issue. And now what should happen, that first of all, obviously now, that it adds to what I've been saying, that how, that means this is no family girl. So if it's Surti, Cockney, or differences going on, then how can there be family girl then? So that person who has called in to rectify the error has put himself into a further mistake, because one can understand something that he perchance saw her in his own family gathering. Now, there's no question that he's seeing it in the family gathering because of this Surti Cockney differences. However, in our, in South Africa, I'm talking about, that they should no longer exist any difficulties marrying across Surti, Cockney, Memon, whatever it is. This is an age-old thing, and there should be no restrictions as far as that is concerned. If the boy and the girl are pious and they want to get married, irrespective of whether they come from Surti, Memon, Cockney, then if they are compatible, they should get married. This barriers of Surti, Cockney, etc., Memon, these are the baggages that we have brought from India, Indo-Pak subcontinent, but fortunately, we have shed these baggages long ago. But still, we are saying, follow the advice of your parents. They are the elders. They, according to Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh, supposed to be your well-wishers.
JazakAllah for that, Muftisab. Taking the next question now is a woman. Okay, let's take another call online. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam.
Jee.
I want to ask Molana, is it allowed to do dam fishing when you catch the fish and release it?
Catch and release, okay. JazakAllah, assalamu alaikum. Jim, catch and release.
Okay. To indulge in sport, fishing as a sport, that is definitely detestable and abominable. That means you are just doing this as a vain, futile activity, and you are wasting your time, which is valuable in the sight of Allah Jalla Majdahu, and you are putting the fish into difficulty, because every time you catch this fish, any fish, you are putting that fish into harm, injury, and difficulty, whether we appreciate this fact or not. And then, after putting that fish into all the difficulty, you throw it back. If you are doing fishing for eating purposes, it is permissible.
Yes. JazakAllah for that. Taking the next question now. Is a woman allowed to expose her arm up to her elbows to another Muslim woman? And what parts of her body can be exposed to another Muslim woman?
The Fuqaha are also very cautious about this, because one is the exposure of the satr, even to females. If, exposure of the satr to males, definitely that is not permissible, that is haram. For a shari valid reason, exposure of the satr to another female or for another female will be permissible.
JazakAllah for that. Mufti, taking the next question now. It says, can one keep snakes as pets?
We unfortunately are living in such an age that people want to do some strange things. On one side, they will argue that there is nothing wrong in this, because that animal can be, that reptile can be restricted and confined to an area, and all the harms and the injuries that it can potentially cause can be removed. But these are strange tastes which will be classified as mubah. That means that if you do it, there is no harm provided you look after and care for them. However, these are vain and futile activities, especially in our age where we should be more focused and rushing towards Allah Jalla Majduhu.
Okay, let's take the next question now. It was one SMS, two questions. Must a girl go to high school?
In this age, that we should worry about hijab. And those modernists who unfortunately come in some religious garbs also. I was informed of some pious person. He was giving an interview on one of the radio stations that stated all the opinions of Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali about female education. We have got a book on female education in Islam. Those who can see it on our website, alislam.co.za. Now, that particular person stated, oh, we should follow Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali. However, that when in his area, when girls pass metric and they want to go to university, then he looks at the girls, x-rays them, so-called, and finds them pious, and he allows them to go to university. Now, what a ludicrous statement this is. And how he is allowed to look at nabalig strange girls. In this age of trial and tribulation, that so-called pious people are now looking at nabalig, how Bali girls they are looking at and classifying them to be pious. The laws of hijab, the laws of parda, the laws of modesty, the laws of morality are given preference to education when it applies to females. This is the age of sin, transgression, disobedience, and the Sharia is clear about hijab. How can we leave hijab and opt for female education and promote it to any or any level in the pretext that they are going to become so-called helpful in our societies? Most of the females who go to professional levels, they unfortunately do not even know the fundamentals and basics of Islam, and they do not unfortunately have any spirituality linked to them. We are saying clearly, safeguard your iman, safeguard your character, safeguard your modesty.
Okay, taking the next question now, it says, how does one give da'wah to non-Muslims?
Firstly, that explain to them the beauty of Islam. We have written some kitabs on this, and they are available on our website. alislam.co.za. The book's names are Why Accept Islam, Invitation to Islam, Islam the Easy Way, Islam the Moderate Way, and Islam at a Glance. Explain to them the simplicity and explain to them the belief structure of Islam, and the beauty lies in belief and action. And most important factor as far as Dawat is concerned, whether it is Dawat by way of tabligh or whether it is Dawat by the way of giving invitation to non-believers, our personality has to be immaculate. Our character has to be spotless. Our transaction, our business transaction and dealing has to be par excellent, so that you cannot be faulted. We can present an example to be followed. These days, because of our dealings and transactions and our horrific character and personalities and our vulgarity, we are standing at the door and not allowing people to enter into Islam.
JazakAllah for that, Mr. Sahab. We have a question on the screen here saying, I knocked another car, and the person that I knocked had his car insured. The insurance company is claiming the money from me. Can I pay them with interest money because I don't have money?
If you are classified as a pauper, as a poor person, and you got no money, then if someone offers to relieve you of that debt via interest money, it is permissible. Remember, this is a special case for that person in particular.
JazakAllah for that, Mr. Sahab. Let's take the next question now. We're not taking any other callers now, just taking SMSs. It says, my mother does not like my husband. She does not even come into my house. She goes to my other sister, and it really hurts me. She said that the day I leave my husband, I will then be her child again. I love my mother and my husband. What do I do in this situation?
First of all, that from one angle, you should look at it, that perhaps if your mother comes into your home, she may cause difficulty. And is she causing difficulty? Thirdly, that why is she not coming? Try to find out. Address the situation. Try to patch up and reconcile. Invite, give dawat for the meal, because obviously she's your mother and she can partake the food on the same dastakhan as her son-in-law. So find out what the difference is. However, in this age, that at times it is good to allow the couples to run their own lives. Many times we find that marriages are in doldrums because interference from the in-law side, whether it is in-laws from the husband's side or whether it is in-laws from the wife's side. And because the in-laws want to push their way, and because they want to dictate, and because they want to still hold on to their daughter or hold on to their son and not allow their son or daughter to become free standing individuals and just encourage them on the Shariat, they tend to dictate their lives to the sons and the daughter-in-laws or the daughter or the son-in-laws. And this interference is causing a lot of divorces in our age. But in the said case, you should make dua and try to reconcile.
JazakAllah for that, Mr. Sahab. Let's take the next question now. Can I wear a trouser and shirt with my pants above my ankles? On hot days, I sweat and my kurta gives off odor.
As long as the physical shape of your body is not apparent, it is permissible to do so.
JazakAllah for that. Taking the next question now, it says, I would like to know with regards to halal and haram. If one organization certifies something halal and one certifies something haram, what should one do in such situations? JazakAllah for your help.
Any halal authorizing body which has got ulama on board, which has got checks and balances, which has got transparency, which have got members who are fearing Allah Jalla Majdahu, then you as a common Muslim will take the word of that organization and consume that product. And on a lighter side, that you can pass the sawab to them.
JazakAllah for that, Mufsa. Taking the next question now. People condemn doing jama'at work. What is the Sharia ruling on this?
I've written two books on this. One is called 6 points, and the other one is called Tabligh Made Easy. The work of jama'at, the work of tabligh, is substantiated adequately from the Quran and Sunnah and the actions of the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. This is a noble activity. However, sometimes their members go to the extremes and make some extreme statements. And sometimes, due to the ill-mannered and wrong personality behavior of certain members, and sometimes because of their business transactions, people begin to condemn the work. This is not the correct policy. The work itself is good. Just like in every other organization and institute which has got noble ends and means, you have certain members who are not behaving well, therefore giving a tarnish to that institute. You should not criticize the work itself. The work is good. People should participate in it. It is a work of the elders, supported by the elders. If we look that it is an international madrasa, it is a mobile madrasa, it is a work that has got the most amount of ulama ikram supporting them passively, actively. If you look at any body, any institute, any organization, will have a handful of ulama behind them. But the work of Da'awat and Tabligh, which is international, has got the maximum amount of ulama ikram behind them. Some participation to the degree of your capacity and capability should be endeavored to the work.
JazakAllah for that. Taking the next question now. Can a Muslim marry a Christian and both keep their own religion?
Although the ruling of permissibility has been given, but this, out of experience, is showing that it is quite difficult, because once the children come and the offsprings come, there is utter chaos, confusion, especially in our times.
In the next question now, it says, is it permitted to sell music CDs? But in order to sell the CDs, one must play it, and why would anyone want to pay 180 rands for a recordable CD when a blank one is cheaper?
It is haram to sell music.
JazakAllah for that. What is the word of Khidr? What is the word? What it means? What is the word of Khidr alayhi salam?
The other brother also, he asked one question which we never addressed. He had three questions, and one of his questions was, can the Mufti say something about Zulkarnain? And Zulkarnain, his activities and story episode is narrated in Surah Kaf. And if that brother can source our translated work of Mufti Ashiq Ilahi Mulanchari Rahmatullah Ali called Illuminating Discourses of Quran and Kareem, then the discussion on Zulkarnain is done there. However, in principle, I understand that Alexandra the Great is not Zulkarnain. Zulkarnain or Zulkarnain, and the one having the two horns is some other unidentified personality. Many opinions have been expressed who is this personality, but no consensus regarding determining that this person, Zulkarnain, is one particular person nothing has been stipulated specifically at the moment. As far as Khizr is concerned, then that brother should repose his question. We will, inshallah, make an endeavor to answer.
JazakAllah for that, Mufti Saab. Let's take the next question now. It says, Assalamu alaikum. If I read verses from the Quran, is a form of dua, must I read Bismillah at the start of each, must I read Bismillah each time, or at the beginning only? Would suffice. For example, if I read Ayat al-Kursi 10 times.
This is an important question, because when you are reciting a dua, then you read a dua and no Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim at the starting. Now you are going to recite Quran al-Karim ayat as a dua. It is not necessary to recite Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim at the beginning. Now you are going to read a set of du'as. In that case also, it is not necessary to recite Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim at the beginning.
JazakAllah for that. It says, Assalamu alaikum, can we make khatam of the Quran and then send it to the marhums?
It is very good to do so. And the person who does that, Allah will reward. And the person who does that, then when he passes away, then inshallah it is stated that Allah will put it to the heart of others to recite Quran al-Kareem for that person. And the person who does that should not be afraid that the sawab will diminish. Allah, He is Ghafur Rahim. His treasures are unlimited. The person whom he gives the sawab to will get rewarded, and he, the reciter himself, herself, will also be recited adequately, tremendously.
JazakAllah for that. It says, should we expose corruption in the license department? Can interest money be used to pay for the exorbitant fees of license?
Some ulama ikram say permissible, and the corruption, if you are able to withstand the consequences, you should do so.
JazakAllah for that, Mufti Saab. Okay, taking the last question. One has pursued one desires when while making Tawbah and been... Okay, I don't know what's happening here. I leave that question for now. Going on to the next question now, it says... what happens if a girl is married and she moves away overseas to her husband's country but does not like it there, and she is really depressed? She can't adjust at well at all in this country. What must she do, and can she do what makes her happy?
Once she has made her home outside the country, then she should resolve firmly to make a home of her marriage. And she should exercise patience in this case. And when she does so, Allah Jalla Majdahu will open her road for her so that it becomes comfortable for her either there or in any part of the world. The existence of Allah Jalla Majdahu is everywhere. And the Sharia can be practiced everywhere. Peace and solace, comfort, tranquility can be sought anywhere and can be received anywhere. And a person can receive the blessings and barakah of Allah Jalla Majdahu anywhere and everywhere. So the person will stay put, pleading to Allah, seeking Allah's mercy, and by steadfastness of the Sharia, the help and the support and the unseen help of Allah Jalla Majdahu would come to aid, giving her harmony, peace, and tranquility. She should not decide to break her home.
JazakAllah for that, Mufti Saab. Let's do one last question. If one didn't do the ramal in the tawaf, what should he do? And if one lost count of how many rounds he completed in tawaf, what should he do as well?
The first question, the ramal, especially these days, the ramal, by the way, is to move briskly like a soldier for the males, moving the shoulders and pushing the chest forward and walking short steps like a soldier does for the first three rounds. And that tawaf, which is followed by a sa'i, that you'll do ramal in. However, these days, due to congestion, that ramal lapses automatically, whether you like it or not. However, if the person was there and there was no crowd, absolutely no crowd, and that person had no shari valid reason by which the ramal lapsed and forgot to do the ramal or did not do the ramal, then that person, upon him is no dhamm. Upon that person is no dhamm. That person should just make istighfar, seek forgiveness from Allah Jalla Majdahu. Person made tawaf, as long as he has made more than four circuits, as long as the person has made more than four rounds of tawaf, he could have made more than seven. As long as he has made more than four, the tawaf is valid. But should not allow shaitan again to take advantage over the person and turn him into a mashkuk, a person doubtful in nature. May Allah Ta'ala grant us ability to stay away from doubt.
JazakAllah for that, Mufiza. Just one last question, sorry about that. It says, Assalamu alaikum, is it permissible for a woman to make adhan if she does not hear it?
She should not do so. Why she wants to give adhan now? When azan and ikamat is not on her shoulders and responsibility, not on her liability, salat is there, she makes a salat. Even if you don't hear the azan of the locality, her responsibility is salat, not azan and ikamah.
JazakAllah for that, Mr. Sahab. Let's bring us to the last question I think we have for today. Some nasiha from your side.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. First of all, that there were some questions regarding salah and doubt. Shaitan is always trying to mislead people. And that is the job of shaitan. And he is the person who is our open enemy, causing dissension, disunity, disharmony. And he is the one who is trying to put doubt into our mind. Whether it be way of transaction, food, salah, ibadat, and we should regard him as our open enemy. Many times we regard human beings as the enemy, whereas shaitan is the one causing all the dissension, all the difficulty. Shaitan incites and ignites the passions, the desires and the whims and the fancies and the nafsaniyat in a person to cause harm and disturbance. So we should all the time be aware and like soldiers be against shaitan. And when we defeat shaitan, we are on the way to spiritual progress, harmony, cooperation. So we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not allow shaitan to get victory over us in all fields and in all arenas. JazakAllah.
JazakAllah for that, Mufti Sahab. JazakAllah khair. Request to your du'as as well. And may Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala look after you and increase you in your knowledge, inshaAllah. And that brings us to the end of our Q&A program with myself and myself, Hamad, and my engineer, Rashad. Until we meet again, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.